A wonderful opportunity is ours this evening as we gather once again. And as was announced, we're going to discuss foolish things people do. I thought it a fitting time, the Sunday closest to April Fool's Day, to look into some foolish things people do. I want to ask you a question. You ever done something foolish? I don't think anyone can say that they have not done something foolish. In fact, if you look at Romans chapter 7, perhaps one of the most confusing passages in the New Testament, a portion of it I want to look at just a little bit this evening. And we'll see from verses 15 and 16, the words that the Spirit gave the Apostle Paul are, on the surface, a little confusing. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." As we know, he is talking about the difference between the law and the truth. He said previously in verse 9 he was alive without the law once. But perhaps we look at that and that phrase, "For that I do that which I would not," that's the things we do. And the things that we not that we would do, that's sometimes the things that we do not. And perhaps we look at ourselves afterwards and say, "That was foolish." Now, let's look at our text. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 14. Know that as we look up that passage and as we begin to investigate foolish things, that foolish things have been around ever since man has. In fact, man is the one who participates in foolish things. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 14, we see the Spirit direct the pen of the penman there. "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." We did recently experience the 1st of April, known as April Fool's Day, and as was put in the bulletin article this morning, the origin of April Fool's Day perhaps goes back to France, where in 1582 Pope Gregory ordered a new calendar. It's called the Gregorian calendar. And it changed the first day of the year from April the 1st to January 1st. I really didn't know that until I looked that up. But the problem was, some either refused to accept the new date or just didn't know. Can you imagine on the first day of April, maybe a spring day, flowers beginning to bloom, people walk up, "Happy New Year!" I'm afraid you might be a little confused, dude. No, they began to call them April Fools. And so the custom caught on and it spread to other countries. And today, this day and age, people play pranks. I was talking to somebody this morning and he reminisced about the fact that his grandfather was one of the, that was one of his things he enjoyed doing, playing pranks on people on April Fool's Day. And I'm sure that they were good-natured things. But sometimes these pranks can be cruel, depending on who's meeting them out. And they have serious consequences, such as hurt feelings. Nobody wants to be on the receiving end of these things, I'm sure. You ever heard of the famous radio program War of the Worlds? Guess when it came out? April 1st. There were people that were convinced that the world was coming to an end because of a radio program. I suspect maybe we would be convinced about a whole lot less that is foolishness if we just turned the TV and the radios off. Something to think about. But what is the seriousness of being foolish? Have you ever thought about how serious it is to be foolish? I know that sounds like a contradictory phrase, right? Do you know how serious it is to be foolish? Let's define foolishness. Foolishness is one who is gullible, believing anything that people tell you. I enjoy cutting up with gullible people. You can tell them things and convince them of things, and then they realize, oh, you're doing it again. After a while, they figure out that you're just full of foolishness and they don't want to listen to you. Another definition is naive or not experienced. You know, when somebody is not experienced in something, they're liable to be a little foolish about those particular things. I was kind of surprised at this one. When I looked it up, it said somebody's not right in the noggin. Don't know where that definition came from. But all of these things are so we can help us to see that being foolish is a very serious thing. And it can have dire consequences. You see this with people getting hurt or people hurting others. But what are some things that people do that are foolish in relation to a relationship that they should have with God? Foolish people do not recognize the existence of God. I've had people to tell me, and this is so sad, well, if there is a God, and I usually stop them, I usually cut them off. I have often told myself, no, you need to let them keep digging. That's one of the worst things you can do when you're in a hole is keep digging, right? If you let them keep digging, they're just going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. But then that's a little foolish because then I got to pull them out. So, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1 addresses this very thing, specifically just the way it is. There are those throughout history, the history of man, at some point decided that maybe there's not a God. Some civilizations have decided that there are multiple gods. But Proverbs 14:1 tells us the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But notice what it tells us about the fool. The one who has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. It is important for us to understand, yes, there is a God. And yes, he has provided for us the instruction and the direction in his word so that we need not be foolish. The atheist argues that believing in God is illogical. If you believe in God, or if you affirm that God does exist, you must first of all reject all the evidence, or that if you affirm that God does not exist, then you have to reject all the evidence of a designer in the creation of the universe. Case in point, some people that hear this later won't be able to see the air quotes. Wise man, scientist, decided many, many, many years ago that there was a Big Bang. And guess what happened? Two bodies in space came and slammed together. And out of that chaos, we have instantaneous order, stability. Friends, it cannot be that way. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, we will see what the Apostle Paul was directed to write to those Roman brethren so that they would see. Here in this particular place, again, talking about being able to see the power of God, be able to see the fact that there was a creator, there is a design, their order is kept in place. And he said, for the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It is not chance that every day the sun comes up, or as we call it coming up, as the earth turns and we are able to visualize the sun, in the morning it starts on the east and goes to the west. And you know what? No matter where you are in this hemisphere, it appears to start in the east, go across the sky, and go to the west. That's order. And God did this. God set things in place. Of course, those people are without excuse. They have refused to retain God in their knowledge. But these people must also claim to know everything, since not knowing one thing may be what God proves that God exists. If they don't know how something happens, they have to admit that something or someone put it in order. And if that's the case, if they say no, nobody put it in order, that means they know everything. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 is a passage that helps us to understand this. We know that man has gone through a number of transitions, and I'm not talking about ages in which there was this style of prehistoric man or anything like that. I'm talking about the dispensations of time that God has set up. But in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, we see, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Every dispensation of time was ordered, was started and begun and finished according to God. Of course, this final dispensation of time has not yet finished, but God is the one who has determined when that will be. In Hebrews 11 and verse 3, again, we go back to the creation and the forming of the worlds and the things that do appear. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's important that we understand that faith is important. Faith is important because we never saw creation, but we know creation is. And we have faith that God in his word has told us how that creation came about. I never will forget the first time that I heard someone say, but you know, back in those days in the Bible times, a day wasn't the same as it is now. I don't know how old I was the first time I heard that. I know I was old enough to be able to reason and think, and I asked that person who said that to me, who incidentally happened to be a few years older than I, how old are you? He told me. I said, how many days is that? Well, I don't know. I'd have to figure that up. Well, how many of those days didn't have 24 hours in them? Now, you're telling me that way back then, the days were much, much longer. I'm telling you that every day from the beginning of time has had the same number of hours. And I can prove it. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And after 6 days, God had created everything that needed to be created. It didn't take six eons. It didn't take 60 million years. It didn't take 60 anything. Six 24-hour periods. The person that does not recognize the existence of God's law is foolish. You know, there's a lot of people that claim to be atheists. I call them practical atheists. They claim to believe in God, but then they will not read nor follow the Bible. They're much like the devils. Even though they claim not to believe in God, the devils believe in God and tremble. These people claim to believe in God and don't even have enough sense to tremble. The wise person, on the other hand, believes not only in a living God, but also believes God. And that's different. I've had people to tell me, well, I believe in God. Is it different to say, I believe God? Anyone can affirm that they assume or believe or put forth the idea that God is, but to believe God is different. When one believes God, one will look to his word, one will read the Bible, one will study. Does what the Bible says because God commands it and because they love God? That's how we show how that we believe God. So the foolish people do not recognize the existence of God. They do not respect God. They do not love God. They do not follow his word. Foolish people also do not listen to others. As a young person, we don't understand often that those who have that experience, those who have traveled the road of life, sometimes have something to tell us. They perhaps have had some pitfalls, some difficulties, some problems because of foolish actions. And perhaps they're trying to help us avoid these things. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, we see that counsel has been taught in the Bible. In fact, from the very beginning, Adam and Eve were to listen to the counsel of God. But as time went on and as people populated the earth, this is part of God's plan for others, some people to teach others. But Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. If we listen to folks, perhaps folks who have been Christians a number of years longer than we have, maybe we won't make the same mistakes they made. Maybe we won't fall into the same traps that they did. The reason I think that people do not listen to others is usually because they do not want to hear that they may be wrong. I don't think anybody wants to be told that they're wrong, do they? I don't like it when people tell me I'm wrong. Doesn't mean that sometimes I'm not wrong. Doesn't mean sometimes I don't need to be told that I'm wrong, but I don't particularly care for it. Who does? But the Bible addresses that as well. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2, we see the problem with the fool, the one who does not want to be instructed. It says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." How about some examples? Rehoboam in the Old Testament, he had two groups of people trying to counsel him. He received wise instruction from the older men, but he refused to do what they said. You guys are part of my dad's generation. I got some pals over here. I'm going to listen to them. It cost him part of the kingdom. Think about the instruction that we find in Titus chapter 2. It tells us there and teaches us there that older women are to teach the younger women. Why? Because the older women have already experienced these things. They perhaps already raised their families. This works also for the younger women to be willing to listen. Today, I think many times, our young people don't want to listen so much. But one thing you cannot do is make someone listen. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, we'll see that one who is desirous of listening, one who is desirous of knowing, will seek knowledge. And they will seek it from the Lord when it comes to the things that are spiritual. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In fact, when you find someone who you can't tell anything, they already know everything, that person has got some problems ahead. But a wise person is willing to listen, and if needed, changes their mind. A foolish person won't. What if, in fact, you're doing something wrong and it's going to end up costing you, perhaps even physically? You're doing something wrong. I know that some people enjoy woodworking. I enjoy looking like I'm doing woodworking. But I was watching a video here recently, and I spoke to Philip about this, and I couldn't believe here's a person putting a video on YouTube, a how-to video, and he is cutting small pieces of wood, and a table saw is flying. The blade is spinning. I don't know what the RPM is. But he's pushing these things through, and he's taking his finger and being very careful, but right beside the saw blade, perhaps nobody instructed him. Perhaps he hasn't stopped to consider, how much wood could I push with that finger if it's mangled? Once the police pulled over a car that was driving erratically. It turned out that the couple was on their way to a place about 100 miles from their home. They were perhaps arguing about where they were, which direction they should go. They'd been on the road over a day. It turns out that the problem was that the driver, and I'm going to insert this, probably a man, refused to pull over and ask for instructions. I keep saying that one of these days I'm going to learn to listen to my wife. There are times when she says, "This doesn't seem right. We're going the wrong way." Being four blocks away from the motel and getting caught in a downpour, you'd think I'd learn my lesson. But no, I'm a man, and so sometimes I'm still foolish. There are times when we need to ask for directions. And when it comes to spiritual things, that is when we need to seek counsel of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 is very clear on this. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." God did not leave it up to us. He did not say, "Here are some options." He did not say, "Well, you'll figure it out. You figure out which way is the best way for you." "I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." What does that tell us? It tells us that God has a plan. He has directives. He has instruction within his word. And those who are not foolish will seek those things and will follow them. In fact, those who are seeking wisdom, they will also listen to others, but then they will go and check the word of God to make sure that the advice others give them is sound advice. Foolish people also lack self-discipline. We talked about self-discipline this morning, or personal discipline. But we see that a lack of self-control is seen in many areas of life. If you look at Proverbs chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, it actually addresses a couple of different things. We see there, as the wise man was directed to write, a wise man feareth and departeth from the evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. When we continue to participate in foolish things because of lack of self-discipline, it brings upon us hurt and harm. It's a hard thing to realize that not everybody has the same temperament. I've known some people that they were just so easygoing. They always smile. Everything's great. Now, you may not see what's under the surface, but they seem to always have an even keel, if you will. Other people, you can tell when they're angry. They don't hide it. There are some people who become angry and do not hide it, but still do not act rashly or improperly. But everyone has the ability to control the temper that we have. I have talked to people who seem to be even keeled, and I've asked even some of them, how is it that nothing seems to really rile you? You didn't know me 30 years ago, is the answer I got. I've been working on this all my life. That's true. There are other areas. Anger is one of them. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 deals with this. One can be angry and not sin. It is important to understand there's a difference in anger and righteous indignation. I have righteous indignation when I see someone disregarding the law of God. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. It's important that we understand that we must control ourselves. It's okay to get angry, but it's not okay to let your anger control you. That's foolishness, because we become servants to our anger if we allow that to happen. Laziness is a sign of being undisciplined. The story has been told, I guess, in many, many different families, because I told the story on my brother, and then I heard my father-in-law tell the story on his brother, that hanging in the shed, the barn, whatever the case may be, where the hose are hung, you can tell which one belongs to, quote unquote, that person. Because as everyone else is hoeing the corn, that person is leaning up on the hoe and crying because they have to stand out in the sun and work. And over a period of time, that hoe handle begins to bow rather than do the work. Laziness. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, especially when it comes to our spiritual well-being, that we are not to be lazy. We are to be disciplined. And in order to be disciplined, we can't be foolish. He says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Once again, a wise person learns to control themselves. And we call out this passage this morning. I'm going to call it out again tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. A very important passage that hopefully we use it to our advantage. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So foolish people do not recognize the existence of God. They do not listen to others. They lack self-discipline. They also reject the Father's instruction. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5 addresses this very thing. We have had fathers of our physical lives, those who raised us, those who were to guide us, those who, if they were doing things properly, were bringing us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5 tells us about those who despise the father's instruction. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Of course, it takes us a while to figure out and realize that what Dad had to say oftentimes had meaning behind it, had reasoning behind it. Example, rebellious children that talk back to parents do not pay attention. I am appalled today as to how children respond to their parents. And yes, society is at fault. If you cannot correct your children, if you will not correct your children, then your children are going to do what your children want to do. And if they want to talk back, they're going to talk back. It's partly the child's fault for not listening again. But you can't make someone listen. You can't force them to listen, especially when they enter the teenage years and beyond. But a wise person accepts their parents' instruction, most especially if that parent is a child of God, a faithful servant of God, who has grown to the point that they are doing everything they can not to be foolish and bring those children up as they should. But foolish people also do not learn from their mistakes. They just keep on doing them. The same ones over and over again. There are two places in the Bible that uses this particular example. But in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, we see man's best friend being referenced once again. 2 Peter chapter 2 is where the other time that it is referenced. But notice that in this reference, in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, it is referring it to it as describing a fool. It said, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Somewhere down the line, I heard the definition of an idiot. An idiot is a person who does the exact same thing and expects different results. We all know, those of us who have done things that require repetition, if you do the same thing the same way every time, you should come up with the same results. But if you do the same thing every time and come up with the wrong results, why would you continue doing the same thing every time? We can't blame people for making mistakes, but we can blame them if they keep doing the same things. You know, the law of cause and effect works in the physical as well as the spiritual world. If you take a hammer and you hit a thumb, and then the next time that you pick up a nail, you look at the thumb and swing that hammer, you're going to hit that thumb again. And when you hit that thumb, it's going to swell if you hit it hard enough. It's going to hurt regardless how hard you hit it. But the same thing works in the spiritual world. Turn with me to Numbers 32, 20 through 23. Sin, transgression against God, is the cause. Death is the effect. And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. He was telling the people, if you will do this, then you shall receive this. But if you do not do this, you have sinned. And that sin will be found out. There are those who have problems with substance abuse. It's a fact of nature. It's a fact of life. And those who have problems with substance abuse that hang around with the same friends, they're likely to find themselves in trouble again. Alcoholics, they keep going back to the same establishment. Gamblers that keep on wagering their paychecks and then wonder why they don't have milk to feed the baby. These could be called foolish people. not because they themselves are foolish, because they do foolish things, but wise people learn to change their behavior. That's the difference between one who is foolish and does foolish things and one who is seeking to be wise. Foolish people also don't watch what they say. There are warnings about the tongue, and these warnings tend to go unnoticed. I am appalled, as you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12, I am appalled in watching reports of events that take place and the language that is used, just commonplace in the world today, by people who are supposed to be respected. They don't care about what they say. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12 says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of the fool will swallow up himself. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 2, again, we find passage regarding the tongue and the use of it, or the improper use of it. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. And then we can go into the life of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 35 through verse 37. He warned against using foolish language, against saying foolish things, against not thinking wisely and soberly. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. What kind of words are we talking about? Profanity. Using the name of the God in vain. Slander, gossip, lying. We know what a lot of these things are, but I'm afraid that today people don't know what it means to use God's name in vain. They've not been instructed properly on it. I have heard Christians say, oh my God, not in a worship setting, not the right way to use God's name. And if we do not use God's name properly, we're using it in vain. But there's another thing we find out about the wise. They don't always tell everything they know. Not that they're trying to hold anything back. As you turn to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, we see that the wise do not always say everything they know. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, if a conversation is going on and you're standing there and you're listening to it, rather than always putting in your 2 cents worth, if you wait to see what's going on, you listen, you think, you ponder, people are going to automatically think, you know what? He's a very wise person. But as soon as somebody starts talking, you cut them off and you start telling what you know about the situation, perhaps they might not think that. Just some things to think about. And finally, the foolish do not prepare for eternity. Remember, the title of the sermon is Foolish Things That People Do. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, remember the man who thought that he had everything he needed for the rest of his life? He in fact even said, here's my last bit of effort. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build new barns. I'm going to stuff these things full. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say, hey, take it easy. In verse 20, we see what God said regarding this man. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Why is that foolish, by the way? We know that we're going to die. There's not one of us here that think for a minute that we're not going to die. We're also going to be judged. We know what is at stake. Anybody that's ever given any real serious thought to what happens after we die, if they've had any instruction in the Word of God whatsoever, if they've been wise enough to ask somebody, what happens when we die? What happens after the judgment? perhaps we would strive not to be foolish. You know, only a fool or a person that is ignorant or an evil person will go to their grave unprepared. But a wise person is prepared all the time. They will become prepared. They will seek to remain prepared. The question then is, which are you? Wise or foolish? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. Perhaps would make us ask ourselves that question and seek to make sure that we are wise. It tells us there, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. It's always wise to obey the word of God. It's foolish to think that we have all the time in the world because we do not know how much time we have. There have conversations been had today about people who are in their 90s that are still doing things. And it would be great if we knew we were all going to live to be 90 years old, wouldn't it? But there are people that are just on the cusp of adulthood that lose their life. There are people that are in their prime of their life that lose their life. There are people that are just entering into their golden years and they lose their life. Why? Time and chance happens to us all. Time is going to run out. That means it's important to become prepared now and remain prepared. How does one prepare for eternity? By obeying the gospel. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, we see that we are to hear the word, that we're also to do it. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16, we see that belief is required. We know that we are to believe in Jesus Christ, and that requires faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One must repent. This was well seen in the life of Saul. The fruits of repentance were seen, because as soon as he was converted, what did he do? He showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and thither the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. We must also confess, as Jesus himself in Luke 12:8 said, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And yes, one must be baptized into Christ. As 1 Peter 3:21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. But we also, if we will be wise, must remain faithful. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you're here tonight and you've not obeyed the gospel, as kind as I can be, you're being foolish. But if you're here tonight and you've obeyed the gospel, but then you've not remained faithful, again, as kindly as I can say it, you're being foolish. What is one in that state to do? As a child of God, repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We're going to stand and we're going to sing verses 1 and 4 of the selected hymn. Notice, if you will, that the chorus on the fourth verse is a little different. It's designed to be that way, to help you decide whether or not you want to be foolish or whether or not you want to be wise. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.